get ready to amplify your light and shine bright, because it's about to get real. Join Spencer Jones, the Prince of Positivity, and get energized with this episode of the Jones and Four Show. Let's go!
Hey, Energizer, welcome to season two and this beautiful episode of season two of the Jones and Four Show. You are in for an amazing and special treat, because today of all days, we get the master who's revolutionizing the culture, leadership, the culture of your workplace, making it the place where you want to be so you could be at your best. And so, okay, we're going to be talking leadership, we're going to be talking mindset, we're going to be talking culture and all these different things, but really it's going to boil down to you. And I am super excited for you to meet this guest. We have been part of a men's mastermind group together that meets weekly for over a year now. I've known him for over 2 years, and it has been such an amazing honor to get to know him and to be able to call him my brother and for us to share his wisdom with all of you. So without any further ado, please help me, give a warm welcome to my brother, Todd Kukan. Welcome, brother. How are you doing?
Spencer, it is so awesome to be on with you. And just, you know, being with the Prince of Positivity, as you were talking, my smile just got bigger and bigger and my heart got bigger and bigger. And hopefully that'll come through to the listeners, but it's great to be on here with you. And like we were kind of talking before, this is kind of like a quote unquote official thing, right? Our masterminds are a little more informal and all that, but we'll have some fun. We'll have some good conversation, and hopefully we'll share some good nuggets with folks that are listening.
Oh, you always share amazing nuggets of wisdom with us all every time we chat, whether it's in our mastermind group or our more official calls like that. I love them. So I know you. We've gotten to know you over the last year of all the stuff you've done, of the different jobs and careers you've had, all the way to being fired a number of times. I'm right there with you. I've been fired from a job. That sucks when that happens. And all the way to what you're doing now. So I know the story, but a lot of our listeners don't. So why don't you tell us, who's Todd? What makes you tick, and what's been your journey to this point?
Well, maybe I'll go backwards, kind of, you know, differently. I had a friend, and you know, Sean Douglas. I was at a point in my career, my life, I guess, really, where I was kind of thinking through things, and it was a little over a year ago. Well, probably, yeah, a year and a half ago. And Sean said to me, "Whose dream are you living?" Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, that hit me right between the eyeballs. And I was in a full-time position at that point, running a chamber of commerce here in central Wisconsin. Actually, probably the best job, or one of the best jobs for sure, that I've had. Things were going really well, but something was missing. And I had 5 years earlier started with the John Maxwell Leadership Group and getting some training and certification through that, and met a lot of good people through Unleash You Now, is how we met, and you know, learn more about leadership and sharing my message and how that could impact people. Something I'd never even thought of, how something I could say could impact somebody. But came to the point, and Sean asked me that question. We were on a call, and I thought, yeah, whose dream do I want to live? And you can live dreams in a variety of ways, but for me, the dream was to leave the workplace and become a full-time solopreneur. So in November of 21 now, gosh, it's been over a year already. I left the full-time safe workplace, where a good workplace, to start being a solopreneur and work, as you said, revolutionizing company culture and leadership. I've had an education degree, so you and I have some similarities there, as well as with Katie. And I've done a lot in the nonprofit world. I've also done a little bit in the private enterprise, and now I'm working primarily in private enterprise, manufacturing, service, banking, nonprofits, and just trying to help businesses and help create meaningful and engaging workplaces.
I love it. So amazing to see what you have learned over your years of different experiences, and then to be challenged by a friend and those questions that make you just stop dead in your tracks and go, oh crap, I don't know how to answer that one. And then you sit and you start thinking and contemplating, and you realize, oh, I didn't see that part of me before. I didn't realize that. It just opens your awareness to these different things and made you realize, I don't want to be in this rat race anymore. I want to step outside of that. I want to be a solopreneur. I want to run my own ship and be able to help even more people than you could in the job that you had.
That's well, it's so, you know, we've talked about this before too. It, you know, that circle, Jim Rohn talks about the circle, the five people who are closest to you and that are impacting your life and really determining a big part of who you are. And you and Sean are certainly fit in that category. Sean Douglas does as well. That's a different Sean. AJ Vassar, another one that has been a part of my life. And we were on a call, much like this, a Zoom call. And he said, Todd, he said, tell me about some of your accomplishments in life. And being, you know, like we are kind of that Wisconsin, humble, blue collar, roll up your sleeve, work ethic, not want to brag about ourselves. I kind of hem and haw through some things that I've done in my life, and I'm proud of them, but never thought of them as anything other than things I'd done. And all of a sudden he goes, Todd, shut up. I'm like, whoa, you know, this is AJ, my buddy, right? And he said, you do not have a belief system. He said, you're telling me this stuff. You're kind of hemming and hawing through it. And you've accomplished a lot in your life. And it's not a competition like me versus you. It's a competition within myself of what I've done. And that was another one of those questions or moments where someone looked me in the eye and just said, you got to think about this differently. And you know, what you talk about so much, you know, the positivity and getting away from all these, you know, from your negative thoughts. And we all have accomplished things in our life, and we've all impacted people. And we all can do so much more. And again, having those people around you to impact me has really helped me change my mindset and really helped me down the road.
I appreciate that. And you've helped me by asking those types of questions in our different groups or meetings, whether it's in the mastermind group that we're part of or just random calls or messages I get from you. You just make me stop dead in my tracks. And I go, ugh, really, Todd? Why'd you have to ask me that? It just makes me stop and think and contemplate and reflect and become aware of these different parts of my life. And I love that we have different people in our circles that do that. And we all have those top five people in our life, whoever they are. Some people, the majority of people, don't intentionally pick them out. They're just, oh, whoever ends up being the people they're closest to, family members, spouses, co-workers, friends sometimes that maybe from childhood, but most likely not at our ages. It changes. But I invite everyone to be really intentional about who they surround themselves with. So I want to go in and ask you a question here, because you know we've talked about, you've been asked these different questions that have made you stop dead in your tracks and reflect and go, oh, okay. Am I living someone else's dream? Am I living my own dream? Who or what have I accomplished? What are those things that I've accomplished? So let me ask you this question, and I want you to pose it out to me and to everyone else listening, all of our amazing energizers. What question would you ask them that would make them stop dead in their tracks and raise their awareness?
I think I'd ask, who are you? That question, you know, all of us. I was in a kind of a mastermind networking group the other day, and people going around the rooms introducing themselves. And this one person got up and she said, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I work at this company and I do this. And I'm like, okay, that's great. But it doesn't say who you are. It says what you are. And really diving into the who you are, who, you know, what are your dreams? What are your visions for yourself? When someone asks you, you know, you introduce yourselves, you go through your, I'm the vice president of da, 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 or do you say, I'm on a mission to revolutionize company culture and leadership. And that was a big shift for me when people, and you were one of them, that started asking me, you know, who are you? What's, get, you know, bring some clarity to who you are. Tell us, I don't really understand what do you stand for? And that's another good one. What do you stand for in life? Another one I always think about, I work a lot with people on, is what, you know, what are your core values? What's really foundational to who you are, not what you are, not those things you can put on your business card, but what's inside of you. You know, a lot of times I talk about the iceberg, right? And 10% of the iceberg is above water, from what I'm told anyway. I haven't Googled that yet, but 10% of the iceberg is above, and that's what we see on the exterior. That's the what. But the 90% that's below the water is the who we are. Mm-hmm. And it's what makes us such important part of everybody else's life. And that's the part that we really need to dive into. So I guess the, you know, who are you is probably the question I would think to ask.
It's such a beautiful question and can be a very difficult one to do. I love the iceberg analogy, and I've seen it on Google. So obviously it's true if it's on Google.
It's out there.
Right? The 10% is what we see on top, 90% is below. So the 10% is what you say you are. I'm a vice president. I'm a teacher. I'm entrepreneur, whatever it is, right? You're a stay-at-home parent. Cool. That's a 10%. But the 90%, the stuff that's below the water, is who you are, the things that make you, things that make you tick. And that's, I mean, it's been such an honor to help people through the Jones and Four Academy and through our events and all that to help them on who they are. You do that through what you lead people through. And we'll get to that in just a second. But let me ask you this. Let's give them a solid example. All right. Let's help them visualize it and raise their awareness so they can see who they are for themselves. So I'll answer the question first. So who am I? Who is Spencer Jones? I am an igniter. I'm a person who ignites the lights within other people and fan their flames so they can shine bright. That's me. I did not answer that. It sounds really quick and easy to answer now because I've honed it in, but I could not always answer it that way. I used to be like 90% of people and say, oh, I was a teacher. Oh, I'm an entrepreneur. I do this stuff. I answer with what I did, not who I was. And even then, once I started like, well, okay, let's answer it not with what I do, but who am I? I struggled with it. It took a lot of honing in. Like, yeah, these are the couple things. I believe in those. That seems like me. And then over time, as I kept thinking, I kept refining it to where that feels whole, complete, like it's part of me. So for me, I'm an igniter and I ignite other people's lights. So Todd, who are you?
I would say I'm a team builder. I really enjoy working with teams, developing teams. I've worked in the sports world with teams and really creating that engaging environment where people, you know, you turn Mondays into Fridays. You know, everybody looks forward to Friday, but nobody looks forward to Monday at work. I want to create that team environment, that engaging workplace culture, that leadership environment where people want to go into work because they know it's going to be engaging and challenging and passionate. And, you know, I heard the term a while ago, there's an entrepreneur that we are, but there's also an intrapreneur. So you can be an entrepreneur in the workplace by being an entrepreneur, but really I'm about team building. I bring a lot of enthusiasm to the table, optimism. I love people who are honest and we can build trust. So I guess that, you know, I'm not sure if that answers it yet, and I'm still working on it because I know, you know, Spencer, again, you've been one that's really been good at challenging me on that, you know, and sometimes getting in my face. And I love that when you do, because that's what you have to do with idiots like me to knock them around a little bit and, you know, rattle their brains around. But I guess that's how I'd answer that. Does that fit? Does that seem to get at what you're asking?
I think that's a beautiful answer. Is the fact that you are a team builder. You love building teams, making a safe, beautiful place where they can shine their light. They can be authentic. I think that's beautiful. The only comment I'll have is don't self-deprecate. Don't tell yourself you're an idiot. Don't say it. I know you're joking. I know. But I used to do the same thing. All the time. I used to just self-deprecate saying I was stupid, I was lame. And we need to get rid of that story because our you know, well, let's get geeky for a second here. Our subconscious can't tell the difference if we're saying it in a joking way or in a real way, right? If someone else says it or we say it. So even just thinking those thoughts, we're programming our subconscious to believe, oh, I'm an idiot. Oh, I'm doing these things. So I invite you to join me and continue to work on the fact of let's not self-deprecate. Let's not say those things. If we catch ourselves thinking it or saying it, just stop and reverse it or take it away and then keep going.
And I appreciate you bringing that up because it's something I'm really working on. And you and others have challenged me to that. And actually, I start my day. I've got a routine like many people do. I've turned my priorities into habits. And one of the things I did, I've got 13 affirmations every day that I read in the morning that, you know, talk about thinking positively and a lot of those things. So I appreciate bringing it to my attention because sometimes I do it and I've done it so much in my life, it creates the bad habit. right? So I'm trying to flip that and change that. So, but you're absolutely right. I used to be much worse at it too. So I have improved.
Yeah, I will say he has improved. I've known him for 2 years. And even 1 year in our mastermind where I started getting in his face about it and he gets my face just as much. It's a fun brotherly thing that we do, but he has improved a lot. And I know I've improved a lot as well with it. It takes time. So I invite all of our energizers to don't self-deprecate. Don't belittle yourself out loud, silently, whatever. Anytime you start doing that, catch yourself and stop it, reverse it. I would, at that point, if you can, say something positive about yourself, reverse that and find the positive. So let me ask this to the team builder in the room, not the igniter, but the team builder here. You said you want to turn Mondays into Fridays because we look forward to Fridays because it's the weekend after that. We get away from the job, the grind and all of that stress and we get to hang out for the weekend. And so now you're saying, well, I want to make Mondays a day we look forward to. How do we do that? How do we make a Monday? And we're recording this on a Monday. I was amped for it because I get to chat with you today. So we can go into that. But how do you make Mondays feel like a Friday?
I think it's, again, it's somewhat of who are the people you surround yourself with in the workplace and what are you doing with them and how are you interacting with them? You know, I think years ago when we had a management mentality in the workplace, we'd go to work, we'd punch in either figuratively or literally, you know, the time clock. We roll up our sleeves, we do our work, we go home and punch out. And when we punch in, we had to leave our life at the door. And then when we punch out, we could pick our life back up and take it home with us. But as we all know, there are great things that happen at home over the weekend or in between work. And there are challenging things that happen. And all those things we bring into work, we bring baggage into work. Just like when we travel, we take baggage with it. Some of it's good, some of it isn't. But we need to be able in the workplace to have that kind of environment where we can talk with each other about it. And I'm not saying, you know, we take an hour every day and sit around, have coffee and talk about our, you know, kids' grades. That's not the point. But I think we need to have that type of engagement where we can feel comfortable talking about our lives and how that's impacting us. You know, if you see somebody, if you're in manufacturing, you see somebody on the line, they're not having a good day. They're not energized, you know, going up to them as a supervisor and saying, hey, how's it going today, Spencer? It seems like you're maybe, you know, a little bit off. Everything going okay? And then it's up to that person. Do they want to engage fuller or do they just like, yeah, I'm okay. I'm fine. I'll be, you know, or maybe they want to say, yeah, geez, I had a tough day. My dog didn't take a poop when I took her for a walk, or I had an argument with my kids or my spouse or whatever it is. But just having that kind of environment where you respect each other, not only for the work that they do, but for what goes on outside of the workplace too, because both interact. You can't, you know, people talk about this work-life balance, like it's a teeter-totter. And we all know it's not that simple. And I think the ability to have those conversations, when I do my speaking and my coaching workshops, whatever, I talk about, let's bring politics and religion back into the workforce. I think having those conversations is good because I really believe that these differences make us better. And if we're the most left-wing liberal and the most right-wing conservative, there's common ground there. And that's where we can build, you know, and I love the way you talk about being an energizer. That's where we can build that energy in the workplace. And that's going to have a ripple effect. And that's going to build our team. That's going to keep employees. That's going to retain employees. That's going to attract employees. And that's going to build productivity and make the bosses happy because it impacts the bottom line. Now, it's simple, but not easy to do that, right? But just having that comfort zone in the workplace to know that I'm cared about, I'm cared for. And if something comes up, if I want to leave 15 minutes early for my kid's football game, or if they have piano lessons, I can do that without being punished or looked at with the eyes crossed, right? And particularly with the work environment in, we need to have some flexibility. So I kind of got on my soapbox. I kind of went on a little bit, but I really get jazzed about it and energized about the possibilities. And I've seen it through the work that I've done and work you've done too, Spencer. You've seen those opportunities as well.
Well, you're passionate about it. You are passionate about helping people enjoy life again, to feel energized and have a safe place to experience all those things. And You're right. For many, many years, for decades, if not longer, centuries potentially, it was you punch the clock, you go into work, and you left your life outside, and then you picked it back up when you punched out, right? Especially once the Industrial Revolution started to pick up assembly lines and all the factories really started to grow. That was the mentality that was taught and preached and ingrained in our society and in our lives. And so we're carrying that forward when that mold does not work anymore. I doubt it worked great back then either, to a degree, but now, especially in today's day and age, it needs to be changed. And so what I'm hearing you say is that we need to create a safe place for where people feel welcomed, they feel loved, cared about, where they could be their authentic self without being judged. The fact that, okay, I could be an atheist and a Christian and Hindu, and we're all going to get along because there's common ground there. That, oh, I could have these different political views, we're going to be okay. I don't need to hate you. I might disagree with you, but that's okay. We still find those common grounds. And the idea of, oh, I'm having a bad day, maybe my performance isn't that as good as it could be or has been in the past. So, my boss or coworkers or friend in there, they check on me, just, hey, how are you doing? And then it gives me that opportunity to share, to let it out and to express my feelings or thoughts or stuff I went through, or not, my choice, but at least I know that I'm cared about. And I think about that when I was teaching in my classroom that I had it, and when you were a teacher as well, right? That's what we did in our classrooms. And that's what hopefully a lot of good teachers do, is they make the classroom feel safe so that when the kids walk in, they know they're not going to be teased, or know they're not going to be, picked on about asking questions, or they could just be themselves, right? I had girls who were struggling emotionally or physically or whatever, through certain things, heck, boys as well, who were in classes, and they just needed a couple minutes. Cool. Or today they need to take a little bit lighter, and they came up and said, hey, I'm really struggling today. Can I, take 5 minutes, or I might not be in my full capacity. Okay, cool. I get it. I'm here for you if you need, right? And just to know that it's that safe place, to carry that on from the classroom to the workplace, is huge. And I love that you're leading that.
I'm sorry for interrupting there. Yeah, I was working with a business, and I was with the executive leadership team, and we were talking, and this I was kind of did I did a session, and the CEO then was talking, and he was saying that, for some people, the workplace is the best part of their day, depending upon their home life, which is really hard to hear. But that's kind of the mentality we have to think of, that we have to be there for our employees and be helping to pick them up. Again, we're not going to get into, psychoanalysis or psychotherapy when we're working with other people, but having those kinds of conversations that people, and I've done workshops where I've had people that have, cried when we've done some small group work talking about their childhood and how that's impacted their lives and their work life, and just watching the people around them, it's almost like you could see ice melt off of them, and they saw this person for who they are, not what they are, not their title, but really who they are and what impacts their life. And the conversations were, just like elevated immensely, just because people, and again, it doesn't have to be you share every single detail of your home life, but just knowing that it's a place that I can go, and if I'm having a tough day or if I'm having a great day, I can share that too. I can share great things with people and lift up my team, talk about the great weekend I had. If you're a Detroit Lion fan or Seattle fan, because the Packers lost, whatever the case might be. But it works both ways. But again, make that environment a safe place.
Right. That's such a huge thing to do in workplace. And you don't have to be the CEO to do it. You
All right.
could just be not just, you could be the manager. You could be the lackey, right? Or you could be the janitor. It doesn't matter what role you are in that company. You are crucial in making it feel like a warm, loving, caring place where people feel accepted and they can look forward to coming there. It's not just because it doesn't need to be just from the CEO or manager. That's great. They can help lead a bigger change. And if you have that role, great, take it on. But if you don't just say, oh, it's too much for me to do. Nope, you could do it. It might be a small circle, right? Your department, your crew, your two or three people that you interact with. Cool. You could still do that yourself. And that's huge.
I did some work with a company. We created a culture team, actually, a group of employees represented about 10% of their workforce. And we were doing some small group work on determining the values for the company and, you know, how they're going to engage and what we're going to be, you know, what are good examples of that behavior, what are not good examples of that behavior. And we had the executive leadership team come in and facilitate the small group discussions. So it was about an hour and a half. When we got done, the workforce left and the executive leadership stayed back and to talk about a little bit. And they were just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. This was amazing. Cause they just heard, they heard all the great things and they heard a lot of the challenges too about what were going on in the workplace. And they just had no idea because they were disconnected. But those people on the culture team, frontline workers, supervisors, managers, whatever level, they're as much leaders, like you said, Spencer, they're as much leaders as the CEO and executive leadership team. And they have a better feel about what's going on in the company than the executive leadership team. So for them to hear that and have those kinds of conversations and that meaningful engagement again, not necessarily about their work or about their home life, but even about their work life and what was going on, going well, and what values they need to focus on. So just having those conversations, right? Sometimes they're uncomfortable, but having those conversations can add so much value in the workplace.
100%. I'm loving this discussion and chat. And I want to pivot it just slightly here for the second half here of our chat. And you mentioned values with the company, right? The company discussing what are their values. And before, well, a little while ago, you mentioned our core values. What are our personal core values? And so I'm curious, how do we know what our values are? Because it seems like it's such a hip thing to say, oh, I know what my core values are. I know what I stand for. But what I've noticed through with the people I've worked with is a lot of the things that they say, they just regurgitate from what they've heard other people say or what they think I want them to say or what society, they feel society's telling them to say. Like, oh, what matters to me? Oh, my family. Oh, work. Oh, God or whatever. Those things matter to me. Maybe they do. Cool. But maybe they don't. And you're just saying it because you feel like you need to. So how, my question is, how do we know what our true values are and how can we discover them if we do not know?
I think you're absolutely right, Spencer. You have to really dig down deep and think through it and spend some time sitting down. Cause you're, you know, as you said, the first answer, faith, family, job, those are probably the ones, those are the things I value, blah, blah, blah. And again, I don't mean blah, 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 but those just like pop in your head and that's okay. Let me get on to this. But excuse me, there's actually an exercise, about an hour long exercise that I walk people through and we'll start out with asking them, you know, trying to get them in the right mood, so to speak, the right, you know, the right part of their brain. Mm-hmm. And I start with a series of questions that I have them reflect on, you know, what are moments of joy? What are moments of challenge? And have them write down some short stories and not just about what happened that day or that week, but like in their life, what were some really impactful things that have happened in your life that made you feel awesome? And what were some times that were challenging? And then think about what are the emotions that are attached to that? All right. And then we share some of those. And then I give them a list of about 100 words and they go through that list of words. And they start circling the words that really mean something to them, that are meaningful, come up with about 20. Then we get it down to 5. And then we start sharing those words and start talking about what those words, I have people write sentences about each of those words so they really can put good definition to what they are and make sure they make sense, figure out what their top value is. So it's a regular exercise. And then after that, encouraging people, and it's really up to them, to make sure they keep them in front of them. So like twice a day on my phone, my core values pop up. So again, I'm feeding myself that good stuff, not with that negative stuff, but feeding myself with those good thoughts. Mine are optimism, trust, honesty, enthusiasm, and teamwork. So I keep throwing those into my brain twice a day and feeding myself that information. But you're right, it really has to be a thoughtful process and there's some exercises you can do online as well, not nearly as much fun as doing it with me, but I don't want to sell too much, but it has to be very thoughtful, right? It can't just be, oh yeah, this sounds good today. And the other thing too, speaking of today, your core values probably are not going to change a lot either. Because they're foundational to, again, getting back to the who you are part. So it's not likely they're going to change. Now, if there's some major life event that happens Maybe it's a major move. Something happens in the family. There may be some change to it. If you're in different quarters of your life, you know, when you're in your 20s, probably not going to be the same as when you're in your 60s. But they stick with you. And then it's something when you know what they are, you can lean on them to help you get through something and to energize you. So there was a case where I had a workshop I did, and the HR person didn't like it. It was the third of four. So we had to retool it. And I really leaned back on my core values and said, okay, this is who I am. I'm not a failure. It's something that we have to change. Let's get together. Let's figure it out and move forward. And it ended up being, you know, after it's all done, the HR director kind of apologized to me. And I'm like, no, it was great. I said, that's where learning takes place, where we have those challenges. So it can really work to your advantage if you take the time and energy and effort.
So what I'm hearing you say is that it's not necessarily, oh, I just pull them out of a hat, that it's not necessarily a quick thing to decide, but it's not a long journey per se, right? You could spend an hour with you and have a pretty solid handle of what they are. And you might need to change and tweak a little bit afterwards, but at least you spend an hour, right? You invest an hour, 2 hours into you. Take that time to reflect, dig deep, work with you. You could try the online ones, but you know, you can, but I would maybe do those and then go to Todd, or just skip those and just go right to Todd and, you know, use your time wisely so that you can really learn what your core values are. So it takes time, it takes effort, but it's not hours. It's not going to be a years of a journey to discover these. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've done it before too. And someone will say, gee, I'm really having a hard time deciding between this one and this one. Well, then, okay, take some time, you know, step away from it. We're going to move on with this, with our group, but if you need some more time to reflect on it, that's beautiful. That's perfect. That's what this is all about, to help you really think through who you are and what's so foundational to the way you are and why you are the way you are.
In your experience, is there a specific number of core values, like 2 or 5 or 10? Is there a magic number, or is it really depending on the person?
Well, it depends somewhat on the person. When I do it, I usually try to get people to 5. That seems to be a good number. You know, you want a number that you can easily remember. That's helpful too. If you have too many, you know, it gets difficult to remember. And I think the when you have to narrow it down to that number 5, it really makes you think through. So that's why we go from like 100 to 20 to 5, because you really have to put some thought into it. And if 2 or 3 are similar, why is this one more important than the other? You know, some people challenge me, well, you have honesty and trust as 2 of your core values. Aren't they the same? Well, no, I'm honest, but I trust others. So that's how those words work for me. So every word means, and another, you know, another vein, every word means something a little bit different to people too. I might define trust differently than you, and it doesn't matter. It matters how I define it and how it fits in. But usually a handful is probably a good number to shoot for.
Love it. Love it, love it. Oh my gosh. There's so many things I know we could discuss and we could keep going down this rabbit hole, but I also want to be respectful of your time and everybody else's time here. And we've already dropped so many amazing nuggets, right? Talking about leadership, talking about how to make Mondays into Fridays, your core values, how to find them, and more that I didn't even mention here as a recap. Such amazing discussions and action steps that we could take. Let me ask you one more question. Well, I guess it ends up being 2 more questions, but one final main question. If you could offer just one piece of advice to help people live their life to the max, what would that be?
It's your decisions, not your conditions, that determine your trajectory. We're all dealt a deck of cards, but it's our decisions about those deck of cards that matters. We all have the same 24 hours in a day. Right. But it's what are the decisions we make within that 24 hours? It's not our conditions. There have been extremely wealthy people who have failed. There have been extremely poor people who have exceeded beyond their belief. And it's because of the decisions they made, not because of the conditions they were in.
I absolutely love that. Holy crap. Amazing. Thank you. Thank you, Todd. You mentioned throughout this, the different things you've done. You've worked with companies, big companies, small companies, individuals, helping them find their core values, building that leadership, that corporate culture, that safe, warm, welcoming, and all that. How can people learn more about you and connect with you to have you work with them or their company?
Well, they have to know how to spell my name.
That is helpful.
Because everything centers around that. So it's Todd with two D's, and then it's KUCKAHN. And I'm sure there'll be some my name spelled around some of the stuff that you post. But I have a website, toddkukan.com. My email, I have a new one now, actually, Spencer. It's todd@toddkukan.com.
Nice.
So I'm moving on from my Bucky Buckets. I'm growing up. But I'm also on LinkedIn and Facebook just about every day. So yeah, reach out to me. Let's get on a call, chat like Spencer and I have been chatting, and let's figure out a way I can work with you and your company and maybe make some positive changes.
I love it. And if you don't know how to spell his name or you didn't catch it, don't worry. We got you covered. You can go to SpencerMJones.com/JonesAndForeShow, and that'll take you to the page where you click on this show, see all the show notes, and you'll set to go. We'll put all the links to his social media, to his website, so you can connect with him. And hopefully, and I invite you, and I strongly encourage you to work with him, whether on an individual level or with your business, your company. And maybe you're not the one that makes the decisions, but you could present your boss and go, hey, I heard this guy on a podcast. He's a rock star. He's a badass. We would be awesome to have him here and help us improve our company culture and conversation that we have. So Todd, thank you so much for giving your time and talent and wisdom to all of us. I appreciate you, brother.
Spencer, thank you so much. I appreciate the chance to be on the show and love working with you and that you're part of my inner circle. It's an honor.
It's an honor to have you as part of mine. Energizers, keep being you. Keep shining your light. Take what Todd has shared with you, right? It's your decisions, not your conditions. Find your core values. Make your place, the people you surround yourself with, be intentional with them and make it a beautiful, safe place where people could be themselves and shine their light and allow you to shine yours. So keep being you, Energizer. Keep shining light. Know that you are worthy, you are amazing, and you are enough just the way you are. All right, until next time, we'll catch you later. Hey, are you ready to crush it, to go after your dreams and goals and live your life to the max? Well, of course you are. That's why you're here listening or watching to the Jones and Fore show, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much. But sometimes we still get stuck, right? These podcasts, this show is great, but that's not everything sometimes. Sometimes we need a little more. And you know what? I get that. What helps me and what has helped me and continues is a community. And surrounding myself with people who are amazing, who are like-minded, like me, going after goals, achieving big things, and pushing themselves and others to be their best. Wouldn't it feel amazing to be surrounded by a community like that? To be surrounded by people who are like you, who have big goals and dreams, and they're going for them. Not only are they going for their goals, they're helping and encouraging you to go after yours. Well, if that sounds interesting, if that sounds fun, if that sounds like a community you would love to be part of, well, then come check out Spencer's Energy Hub. That's right. I have our membership community. Well, I should say we have a membership community that's here for you. I say we because we are the Energizers, just like you. We energize each other to be our best. We have monthly rock star interviews, right, where we interview masters in their field. We have weekly trainings. We meditate every week as a community, and you can hop and join us. You get special access to me along with an incredible community of people. So if you are ready to level up, if you are ready to be a rock star and crush your goals while being surrounded by an incredible and amazing community, check out Spencer's Energy Hub. All you have to do is go to spencersenergyhub.com and check it out. Or if you want, just head over to my website, www.spencermjones.com, and check out the hub. We would love to have you inside. All right, back to your show.